You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. I know that the weather is bad wherever, but I still hope that you get a chance to do all the things you need to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And if it ain't about the weather, then just go ahead and do it. Get it done. That's how it is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on that. And then follow that to where we have previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, all times I'm going to give are Eastern times. On Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Today is Wednesday, so it must be a day for us to be revived by Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., now it ain't me, it's Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. And if you are in the Atlanta area, you can go check out WeBuyBlack.com at the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk there, and the products are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother Bomani Tahembe's website. Check it out. He has a trip coming up in May. And that trip in May is May 22nd to June 4th to Ghana for $3,700, all included. He has other trips coming up in November to South Africa, from 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg and to Cape Town. And then, once again, another trip at the end of the year, December 24th to January 4th, once again in Ghana. Check out Bomani Tahembe, his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Or give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to check out photos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of the recent tours and previous, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Check that out. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, cultural center and bookstore, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. They have furniture, clothing, artwork, artifacts, Kwanzaa kits, the red, black, and green shoes that if you see me, I got them on. You can get them right there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have a history class every Saturday, Know Thyself, instructed by Brother Olatunji. And it is from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturday. Free and open to the public. Free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, they also have a video library with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. Check that out. Go online, and you can purchase that. They'll download it for you, and there you'll have it. All of that at your disposal. Other bookstore is in the Greenbrier Mall, right by We Buy Black. And that is the Meddu bookstore. If you go there, beautiful sister owns it. And if you don't, she doesn't have the book that you're looking for, she'll get it for you. Also, too, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, Brother Kazimde. And the number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. He also has books that if you don't have the book that you request, he'll get it for you. He also has T-shirts, novelties, jewelry, and the red, black, and green shoes. In fact, I bought my white ones there, the UNIAs. They're beautiful. Feel great, too. I still love my Nat Turners, though. Those are the best, as far as I'm concerned. You may have another preference. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, they're the best. Us Lifting Us, Ulu. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. They have a radio broadcast every Thursday night. Tomorrow night, check them out from 9 p.m. to 10. And that number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789 for their radio broadcast on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. The Ulu broadcast, Dare to Win. That's right. And we pulled, it's an economic development cooperative. So what we have done is pulled our money together and we have established Cafe Ulu, CAFEULU.com. Go check them out. Buy something from the cafe. At the cafe is located, if you're in the Atlanta area, 2036 Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. And the hours are Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. We have African coffee. That's right. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenya, Ethiopian. We have other coffees from around the world, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan, Papua New Guinea. That's right. We also have products at Cafe Ulu that are produced by us. The loose teas, the hibiscus ginger tea is just delicious. Produced by us. Potato chips by a brother and his two daughters. Produced by us. The wraps that we have, the salads we have, all produced by us. Two Dough Girls for the sweets, that for your sweet tooth. The delicious pound cake, cookies, brownies, and so forth. All of it produced by us. We also have a vitality drink there, Ambrosia, produced by my brother Novak Young. He made this drink, established it. The drink contains alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, but also hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, spirulina, all good ingredients, a delicious vitality drink, Ambrosia. So check that out. It's the 20th anniversary of Akabin Institute and Akabin House's 20th anniversary celebration will be Saturday, March 2nd. The time is approaching. It's going to be at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta. It is east of the West End, east of the West End. Yes. And it's going to be Saturday, March 2nd from 12 noon to 6 p.m. Come check it out. Also, too, brothers and sisters, what you can do if you cannot check it out, but you want to donate because of the work that Baba Baruti has done and is doing and will continue to do regardless. And he'll be on with me next week, Monday. Next week, Monday, check out Baba Baruti. And so check that out. Okay. Us, Akabin Institute and Akabin House. Inye Sesem, the Daily Revolutionary Thoughts, put together by my good brother, Baba Baruti. Inye Sesem, to keep that warrior spirit alive in us every day, keeps us focused on the things that we have to do. I'll read yesterday's and today's. February 19th. What's eating you? Dr. Layla Africa. For warriors, in terms of health, performance, endurance, vision, and life, it is always comes down to the question, what are you eating? Which is the flip side of the question, what's eating you? A body cannot operate efficiently carrying dead weight. This applies to individuals as well as armies, a people, or any other organism. Dead weight inhibits performance by draining energy to attend to its destructive, dysfunctional needs that otherwise could be put to better use by the unencumbered body. It restricts warriors physically, mentally, and spiritually. Agility requires exercise and strength beyond the average. Thought clouded by layers of saturated doubt can never express your best. And you cannot open your first eye to divinity bogged down with waste. Warriors especially cannot afford to carry dead weight or any other toxicity in their temples. We must be highly mobile, always ready and prepared to move, always moving, never in a stupor or high on chemicals, illegal or otherwise, that paralyze our actions or reactions. What we ingest should be the medicine food was meant to be. As the multi-genius Imhotep taught, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. We must always be clear and clean, holistically fine-tuned for building and battle. Affirm, I am healthy. Affirm, I am healthy. February 20th. Powerful people never educate the victims of their power and how to take power away from them. The ideology of our former captors cannot save us. The ideology of our former captives cannot save us. And those who are putting captivity in our minds today cannot save us. We will not be truly liberated until we are the main instruments of our liberation. We will not be truly liberated until we are the main instruments of our liberation. The Honorable Nana Dr. John Henry Clark. The vanquished are in no position to proclaim that they will end the bloodshed by ceasing or working to cease all violence. They have already been pacified. The most they can do is work toward disarming those other African Europeans seeking to destroy so as to make the Europeans' road of our destruction easier for them. Only an equal empowered to force this resolution is at the international level can authoritarianly make such a declaration. Only an equal empowered to force this resolution at the international level can all authoritarianly make such a declaration. Only one in a position to be victorious can proclaim pursuit of absolute peace and have others believe that it is or his or her own ideological violation. True, lasting negotiation requires equals, requires equals, and even in peace, the maintenance of that equality. Even though they have claimed this has their divine mission, Negroes and lost souls have no power to declare an African peace with Europeans or anybody else for that matter. This is a decision only those who have not turned from their ancestors' ways can make, and still only from the seat of power. This is a decision only those who have not turned from their ancestors' ways can make, and still only from a seat of power. Affirm, I am a main instrument of our liberation. Affirm, I am a main instrument of our liberation. And you say some for February 19th and 20th. Brothers and sisters, it is always good and always honorable, always a pleasure to be here and talk with you. Unfortunately, my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, cannot be with us today. He has some business to take care of. And then next week, Wednesday, it'll be the 27th, so I'm having a tribute to the sister to help me start this radio program, start Motherland Media, and that is Sister Queenie Fama, who is an ancestor. And so I want to pay tribute to her on the day of her passing. A beautiful sister. And call up some bunch of other friends, and we'll talk glowingly about my good sister and all her work and how she was. I think that's always good to do, is to honor. You know, I love Fannie Lou Hamer, and I know many of you do. And I know you always love her quote, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I understand that, because we should be sick and tired of being sick and tired. But there is another quote by Fannie Lou Hamer that I love, that is, to me, sometimes brings emotions. And that is to never forget where you came from and to always praise the bridges that carried you over. Never forget where you came from, and always praise the bridges that carried you over. Always acknowledge those who came before you. Always acknowledge those who laid the path, made it easier for you, or gave you direct love. Always acknowledge the people in your life who are instrumental in helping you be the man, the woman that you are. Always, never forget where you came from, and always praise the bridges that carried you over. There are many people in my life that are always in my heart and in my mind, thanking them for helping me, thanking them for showing me information and guiding me. Because nobody does anything by themselves. There's no self-made, I'm self, no. You were given an opportunity. You were given a hand. You've been blessed. And I know there's some people who don't understand that or don't appreciate the blessings that some people have. And I understand that, you know. Oh, okay. We're going to talk today from the arrow, since my brother's unable to make it with us today. We're going to talk from the Arrow, the newspaper that I always encourage us to become a part of, you know, to be a subscriber of. And it's easy to subscribe to the Arrow. It's a great publication. In fact, you can call them at 210-333-0118. 210-333-0118. Or give them an email. Give them an email at obu@twc.com. Their email address is obu@twc.com. The Arrow is a monthly publication of the Institute of the New World, Organization for African Unity Incorporated. Letters to the editor or the comments are welcome. In remembrance of their founder, Baba James Phil Johnson. Baba James Phil Johnson. The term African, well, let me just go on here and pick out some folks and read about them. And I'm going to go, of course, read the narrative. They have some good stuff in here, as always. And they have somebody who I admire and love and respect. And that, of course, is Dr. John Henry Clark. Remembering Dr. John Henry Clark, 1915 to 1998. On 2015, myself and other members of ASCAC, Dr. Marimba Ani, many other brothers and sisters, we were having a Southeast Regional Conference here in Atlanta of ASCAC. And we, on that Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, we all took a ride down to Columbus, Georgia, to Baba's grave site, to Dr. John Henry Clark's grave site, and had a memorial. He was born January 1st, 1915. Dr. Clark was born New Year's Day, 1915, in Union Springs, Alabama, to a sharecropping family. He developed a yearning to know more about the history of his people at an early age. I remember, and I don't think they have that in this little short little piece on Dr. Clark, but I used to play cassette tape in my car of a tape of Dr. Clark and a few others of our great scholars, historians, some of their ancestors, some not. And the one with Dr. Clark is when he was talking about his search for our history, how it led us to a search. And he was a Sunday school teacher. And the Caucasian pastor, Dr. Clark, asked him, he said, "I don't see us in these Bibles, in these Sunday school lessons. I don't, the faces look..." And the Caucasian said to Dr. Clark, and when he says it, I feel him. I feel the way he felt when that Caucasian said that to him. He said, "I'm sorry, John. Your people have no history." And Dr. Clark knew that was not the truth. So he went on an exhaustive search for our history. The quest for knowledge of self led him first to Chicago briefly and then to New York City in 1933. There he became a member of the Harlem History Club and met his friend Kwame Nkrumah. Over time, his relationship with Nkrumah grew into a working relationship, which included Clark working briefly in Ghana for Kwame Nkrumah's Evening News publication. Respected as a world-renowned scholar and educator, the apex of Dr. Clark's ambition was the missing pages of African presence in history. In 1985, he wrote that although many Bible stories unfolded in Africa, I saw no African people in the print and illustrated Sunday school lessons. Mainly self-taught for a while in New York, Clark was tutored by Arthur Schomburg, whose work later served as a foundation for the Schomburg Center for Research in African Studies. The information that he learned and the research on his own was disseminated to the community by supplying Malcolm X with historical facts and information, which Malcolm in turn spoke of in his speeches. Later in his life, Dr. Clark wrote books such as Christopher Columbus and the African Holocaust, Slavery and the Rise of European Capitalism, The Middle Passage, White Ships, Black Cargo, Black American Short Stories, A Century of the Best, 100 Years of the Best, and My Life in Search of Africa. Dr. Clark left a legacy of always striving to do your best work. Africa is our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother and father, our beating heart, no matter where we live on the face of this earth. He was a staunch Pan-Africanist. He was a man who believed sincerely and committedly in African reacclimation, redemption, to reclaim, restore, and recapture the history and life of African people. Dr. Clark did that to the day he passed. If you listen to this program, you know that one of the highlights of my life is having lunch with Dr. Clark at the Indiana Black Expo. Never will forget it. Never had an opportunity to sit at the feet and have lunch with who I consider one of my heroes in the history of our people, Dr. Clark. There's other information here in the Arrow. And of course, you should take out a subscription for the Arrow. $25 a year. That's right, $25 a year. It's all it takes. You can mail it to the Arrow, care of the Organization for Black Unity Incorporated, 646 Home Green Road in San Antonio, Texas, 78220. You can do it by PayPal. PayPal's accepted. And of course, the email address to use is obu@twc.com. obu@twc.com. And of course, you can contact them at that website and at the phone number. It's 210-333-0118. I will always promote this publication and all the information that helps liberate the minds of African people. I feel it's vitally important. Vitally important. What does the Organization for African Unity want? We want to see the divisions of African people come to an end. Number two, we want to see the African community move collectively to develop African-owned and operated businesses. Number three, we want to develop a sense of African culture. Let me stay on number three for a second, because what needs to be understood is that we must develop in African culture based on our understanding of Africa and the diaspora. What you have seen here in America, because of us being alienated from the dominant culture, is a development of a subculture that is not African culture. It is not. All this is a adverse culture because of our exclusion from the dominant culture and still wanting to be part of the dominant culture. Us behaving the way we do towards each other, our community life, the education, the mass incarceration, all of these things, they are not African culture. And that's what we need to develop based on a collective of culture of things that we know and do that are good for us. Good for us all. Good for African people, period. We want, number four, we want to control the education of our children through the creation of African center institutions that teach and train our youth and adults alike in the knowledge of self and the universe we live in. Number five, we want institutions built for the constructive educational cultural development of our community. Number six, we want to see a cadre of young men emerge and women. They need to put women in there. We want to see a cadre of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. Number 7, we want to see an African value system come about that will prepare us for a more collective, productive way of life. This value system is already there. It is the Ngusa Saba, Umoja, Unity, Kujichagulia, Self-Determination, Ujima, Collective Responsibility, Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, Nia, Purpose, Kumba, Creativity, and Imani, Faith. We have what we need. The only thing that we don't have, brothers and sisters, and that's why this program, my program, is so important. We don't have the right mind. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. And that's what we need to do. So, exercises for African mental health and African self-respect. This is Dr. Neely. Well, excuse me. This is Neely Fuller and Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. They said what we should do is stop gossiping about one another. Stop name-calling one another. Stop squabbling with one another. Stop snitching on one another for reasons of personal gain. Stop cursing one another. Stop being discourteous to one another. Stop being disrespectful to one another. Stop stealing from and robbing one another. Stop fighting one another. Stop killing one another. Stop throwing down trash where American African people live, work, and play. Stop making dirt and filth the norm. Stop using and selling drugs to one another. Stop American African children from thinking that has children, they can be adequate mothers or fathers. Stop believing that welfare will save you. Start believing in prosperity. Stop pretending that racism, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege does not exist. And check out the Organization for African Unity, Self-Respect Movement in San Antonio, Texas. Check them out. And then on the back, I always love this on the back, in the upper left-hand corner on the back of the newsletter, is Leaders Wanted, Reward, Freedom, Justice, and Power. Then it says, study these for qualifications. It has 4 men and 4 women. The 4 women, Winnie Mandela, the one I mentioned earlier, Fannie Lou Hamer, Queen Mother Moore, and Yaa Asantewaa. The men, Stephen Biko, Baba Jake Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark, and Brother Bob. They call him Babu because Babu is grandfather. Grandfather, because my grandsons call me Babu. Babu Phil Johnson. Great men and women. We need leaders. We need leadership. We need leadership that is not bought or sold, but leadership that is committed and serious about doing what is right for us. So, I'm going to do something. Just hold tight, brothers and sisters. I'm going to try to do something. I don't believe I'm hearing myself or you're hearing me correctly. And if you're not, let me try something here so I can try to do a little bit better. Okay? I'm going to try something.
This call is being recorded.
Testing one, two, three.
I don't know. I hope that's better. I hope you can hear me better, and not in an echo, but as I'm speaking into this microphone, you're hearing me over whatever method it is, your telephone, your computer, headset, or whatever, mobile device. So I'm hoping that that is the case. Because I did have a bit of anxiety when the time that I usually try to go on, my computer was acting funny, and I couldn't get onto the where I could start broadcasting. I had to close it all down. That's why I didn't come on till 11:05 or 11:04, because I was trying my best to, and my computer wouldn't let me just close out stuff. It was just acting really funny, like it was stalled, you know, not working right at all. Very upsetting, to say the least. Very upsetting. I'm going to read an article when you come back from the break from the Arrow. And the article is the same game with another, with a different name. The same game with a different name. Enslavement, segregation, and integration are all systems of oppression. And I'm not sure if Baba Phil wrote these articles previously. Some I can tell that they weren't, because he passed about 3 years ago now. I think it was 16. I know, or 15, you know. So, and time is flying. I'll be here 5 years pretty soon here in Atlanta from Milwaukee, and that's like, wow, really? Yeah. You know, one of the things that that I believe in and was the reason for me changing my name was Kujichagulia. I believe in self-determination. I believe in independence. I believe in sovereignty for African people. You know, that is why I'm making my trip to Africa and getting all the information that I need to make my move. I'm going to move to Africa. Yes, that's true. I'm going to do that. I advocate for us to go home. Just as Dr. John Rick Clark said, Africa is our center of gravity. Africa is our cultural and spiritual mother and father. Africa is our beating heart, no matter where we live on the face of this earth. Now, one can make an argument. Thank you, thank you, thank you, letting me know how I'm doing. I appreciate that so much. I know that because of the systems that are put in place, pretty much geared and directed by Europeans, by Caucasians, in their system of oppressions, that they've made Africa so bad and looked so bad that American Africans, who are the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, the ones that really are the ones that could really help to liberate Africa, and they don't want to do it. And you know what? I don't want them to. If they don't want to do it, I don't want Africans whose heart and mind is not in the right place, who still cling to European concepts and notions and want to literally be European. Want them. I want brothers and sisters who understand that we need to develop a new day. That in this situation, it is, you know, in fact, I've said all along, I said, for me, it is, I'd rather struggle in a world of my own choosing, Africa, no matter where I am on the continent. I'd rather struggle in that world than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. And if you're in a Caucasian situation, you are a fool, because their dream for us is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. And that nightmare is becoming worse every day. Oh, no, brothers and sisters. It is worse every day.
But the Caucasian in Alabama said, we need to reactivate the Klan, have them go into D.C. and start lynching some people. Now, you know I'm laughing because it ain't nothing funny. But the reality is that's what's happening. We have a caller, 602-602. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Brother Oishi. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Marcus. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Brother. I'm doing great.
Good.
You know? So I have been following this hashtag, a DOS movement.
And yes.
I noticed that, you know, I think the purpose of them is to sidetrack, is to, you know, well, you know, I agree with the reparations part.
Right.
Okay, because one part is pushing reparation. Okay, and I do agree that, you know, we should get reparation. I think you need power in order to get reparation.
See? Right.
And, but what it's doing also, it looks like it's driving a wedge between, you know, the black folks here in America and other black folks in the Caribbean, Central America, and Africa.
Right, because it's not mentioning them.
Exactly.
It's not mentioning them, see?
But, go ahead. But what happened to, you know, there is a reparation movement happening outside of America.
Right.
Because the Caribbean and Africa it has a reparation movement.
So, right.
You know, but what I noticed, too, is they are saying that they're not Pan-Africanist, too. So that's the confusing part that
right.
I'm kind of bewildered about.
These, just as the title says, they're American descendants of slaves. I hate the damn title altogether. I don't want to put American. I sure in the hell don't want to put slaves. You know?
Exactly.
You know?
And when I was reading the site that Jay gave yesterday, I didn't even see the word African in there.
Right.
You know, I was looking in the article and I said, it's kind of strange. I didn't see the word even Africa. Maybe I should read it again. You know, because
right, because you're not. You know, these are blacks. This is about being black.
I'm kind of confused. You know, and then they say, well, you know, we need to go sit down at the table with Trump and demand. These are what we want. These are our demands. And I'm like, hold on, you know, this guy have distinctly told he don't like black people. You know,
right.
So what the hell are we? But I think it's a distraction. I really think it's a distraction because they see Pan-Africanism on the rise. You see, because I keep my ear to the ground, and Pan-Africanism is definitely on the rise.
So but you know what, Brother Marcus, it has to be. Pan-Africanism has to be, because it is the only salvation for African people.
It is, my brother.
It is.
I don't see no other alternative.
There isn't. No. Mm-hmm. There is no other choice, no other alternative. It's either that or die. Dr. Clark said it best, Pan-Africanism or perish.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just strange. You know, it's all of a sudden, they just pop up. You know, Yvette, Antonio Moore, this thing just pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, you know, if you, you know, I listen to YouTube a lot too, these YouTubers. And if you hear the fighting, you know, it's, you know, but we just have to keep on track of what we doing.
Because that's right.
As things time go on, they gonna see that there ain't no solution for black folks.
That's right.
Because this reparation movement is not a new thing. I think Randall Robinson, he had tried it years ago, and another brother by the name of Brock.
Right. You know, I remember Brock in Los Angeles, he was exposed because he was asking people for money. He was asking people for money. It wasn't a lot of money, but he was, which to me is whack, but, you know, I understand the reparations issue,
yes.
But as far as I'm concerned, Reparations should be about repair. That is the key word in reparations, to repair. And what needs to be repaired is African people, not monetarily, but African people in terms of institutions. So we need this money for institution building that is independent to help us as African people to reclaim, recapture, and restore our previous gloriousness. And Marcus, not only do we need reparations. See, I look at reparations globally. I look at reparations to repair Africa from colonization and enslavement and captivity. That's why I look at reparations. And so we need infrastructure built. We need roads, highways, energy systems, water, sewage systems. We need schools, hospitals, towns, villages. We need ports, all of these things. That is part of the reparations that are necessary because of what Europeans have done. And so to me, all African people coming together, not to get a damn paycheck. So when you were impoverished, now you got to see, and I mentioned this before many times. Let me take a break and come right back to you. Okay. I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come right back to you, Brother Marcus. You hang on. All others hang on as well. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay right here with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Check them out. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. Once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to get back to the discussion. And I have my good brother, Brother Marcus Holding.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Marcus.
Yes, sir. So, what I think is happening is the main thrust right now is to keep the black man here in America, the African in America, from joining up with the African and the continent. That's the main thrust right now, because the system knows that the black man in America is the most detribalized African on the planet. You see? He don't have no tribe. It's because of the environment that you grew up under. You know the white man. You know the white man is the enemy. You see, because the white man constantly keep his foot on your head. In the Caribbean and Africa and other places, he works through proxy. He works behind the scenes. So you don't see him out front. In those countries, he controlled the economy, but he allowed the black politicians to go out front. So, you know, it's like what's going on in Nigeria now. You know, this is this party or that party, but behind the scenes, he controlled the economy. So he don't matter who is in front. As long as he controlled the economy, it's fine. So they know that you are the glue, you see, because you are detribalized. The African and the continent, is they have a problem because they are very tribalistic, I say, and so it's hard for them to everybody to sit at a table. But that's why they come and say, no, you shouldn't interject yourself in here. They don't want the African American to interject himself at the table, you see, because they need the confusion going on. But if you are at the table in Africa, then we can bring all the tribes together, because we know the trick that is being played. So that's the task now, is keep the black man looking here for his salvation in America. Don't look outside of America. And I think that's their purpose, is to keep us looking here, knowing that there is no solution for us here. You see, because history has demonstrated that. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Asheville, Rosewood, Wilmington were all destroyed. You see, so they allow other black immigrants to come into the country and then elevate them over you, so that creates more disruption there, you see, because they say, then our people here say, well, look, see, they getting ahead, you know, but the white man is allowing that. And it's only fair time, because when he finish using them up, he threw them to the curb, you see. And look, when I came here, they told me, oh, you are different. You ain't like them other black people here, you see. That's what white folks tell me. You see, you ain't like these black folks here. See, driving a wedge again.
Mm-hmm.
Brother O'Shea, I don't even talk to crackers unless I'm doing
me
business.
Me either, brother. Believe me.
I don't even talk to crackers unless I'm doing business with
them. That's right.
You see, because I know that they are liars. say anything come out of their mouth is a damn lie. If he say go right, go left.
That's right.
Okay, if he say go up, go down. Because he's a damn liar, you see? So, we on the right track, brother. We just got to keep on, keep it on.
That's right.
And I love your program.
Thank you.
You don't dice it up. You don't dilute the thing. You give it to us raw. You see, and a lot of raw people, they don't want it.
They can't handle it. No, they really can't. You know, just like this one sister said, you trying to mess with my mind. You trying to change my thinking. I didn't say it to her, but of course I thought it. You damn right I'm trying to change your thinking because your thinking is whacked. You know?
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And I definitely continue listening. Thank you, brother.
No, thank you, dear brother. Brother Marcus, always for listening and contributing. I appreciate you. You have a blessed and wonderful day, dear brother. Peace.
Thank you.
267-267.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Ralph, how are you today, man?
All right, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. No, I can hear you great. It's great. It's coming across good.
Now, you know, Brother Oshie, I was listening to you and Brother Marcus' conversation. I have to absolutely agree with both of you about this so-called ADOS movement. As soon as I heard it and they gave it that... you know, the alphabet again, I said, this is nothing more than some concocted BS. And, you know, and you know, really, Brother Oshie, and YouTube, they keep you confused because they have all these people that try to come on to want you to believe that they're scholars. When they're nothing but, if you're a bunch of uneducated people that talk a lot of street talk. That's what they are. So, you know, this AD, and you know, that's actually an insult to our ancestors, you know, like wearing that badge proudly, American descendants of slaves, because you're right, they were enslaved.
Right.
They're not slaves.
Exactly. Thank you, Ralph.
Captured prisoners of war.
Right.
Now,
they were captured.
One thing I sort of disagreed with Brother Marcus about was like how he said the American black man is looking for some division with the brothers and sisters from the you know, back in the mainland. No, those brothers and sisters come here with that mindset, and I think a lot of us are tired of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're putting our foot down with that. Like, look. If you ain't down, then the hell with you.
Right.
And that's where I've been at a long time because, you know, just going up there to New York City, and you could talk to Brother Jay about this. You know, I remember I talked to this sister. She was Dominican Republic.
That's a tough one right there, though, Ralph, because the Dominicans are so color struck and Caucasianized. It's ridiculous. Even the dark skinned ones, and of course those dynamics are played off there, and that's why I've been to the Dominican Republic one time, but I'll never go back again because of how they treat the Haitian people, how they treat dark skinned people, you know. But yeah.
But you know, the sister, I said, oh man, it's so good to see a sister working, right? And she said, what you mean? I said, you know, black sister. I'm Hispanic. I said, what? And man, I say, like, you know what? So no, it ain't the African American or the African living in the Americas. It ain't us causing a division, brother. You know, and that's why even with Renoco Rashidi, I said, like, you know, you're going around the globe digging up dark skinned people, but you got dark skinned people right here that don't even identify with us. Why should we want to dig up some other people that don't want to identify with it? And, you know, that's my problem with all that. Like, how do they identify with their brothers and sisters that have been captured here? See, I'm tired of kissing a foreigner's ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's just my opinion. I'm tired of if the foreigner don't know our struggle and is not down with them, the hell with them, too. Just like the ones
I say.
Just like the ones in this country that don't identify with our struggle, I don't care if they're from the mainland or wherever, if they don't identify with our struggle and they want to, you know, the hell with them too.
Yeah.
I think that's the pushback.
Brother Marcus thinks
that we don't want to reach out and talk to those other people. No. They come here with that mindset.
Right, because see, what they come here with, the idea of America is about your individual dream, that you can come to America and achieve. You can come to America and far beyond your imagination and achieve, you know. And let me say this, I will never argue the point, because I think it's ludicrous to argue a point what an individual can do. If an individual came here through shark infested waters or stowed away or whatever, won the lottery, because some do. There are lotteries for you to come here and did that and came here and then realized his or her dream. I understand that. I'm not going to argue against that, you know,
right.
But that's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about some individual doing well. I'm talking about us as people, the African collective, the group of us, you know, that's what I'm talking about. And our condition here is not good. It will never be good. Now,
right.
To me, to say that that 20% should speak for the 80% is bull, especially when that 20% is getting all the wealth and all of the accolades and all of the ability to sit and hobnob with crackers. And you think that's, you know, we've made it. No, we have not. Not us as a people. Because where we are, even by the statistics of ADOS, even by the statistics that they present, we will never be on equal footing with these crackers in hundreds of years. And that's why I maintain we ought to scrap the whole idea of trying to deal with them and let's deal with each other. Let's get our own. Let us go back and link hands with Africans on the continent. What he said, what Marcus said was so true. Zygmunt presents.
But there's some division there, brother. Like he said, a lot of I know Igbos that don't like Yoruba.
Yeah.
And I have that in my DNA. I'm a Yoruba. I can't even pronounce Yoruba.
Yeah.
Yoruba.
But see, but there's Igbos, there's Hausas, there's Yoruba. Yes, there's.
One brother told me from, and I'm going to call my brother Falaji a brother because he carries himself like one. He said his family gave him a bunch of hell because the woman he wanted to marry is from the Igbo tribe. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, nah, bro. They sick like that. So,
see,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back on mute, brother.
Okay.
I just wanted to call in and say, I agree with that ADOS. It got to go somewhere.
Right on. All right, my brother. All right, peace. Peace, Brother Ralph. Thank you. Always love you and respect you, Brother Ralph. And in fact, always appreciate you. 447.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
Well, I'm just glad you can hear me because I know my phone is giving me issues just like your computer, but I give thanks for that. And it's a great program. You know, like, say hello to Brother Marcus and Brother Ralph. Absolute excellent contribution. It's a great subject, Brother Marcus has raised as well. Absolutely. You know, there's something going around WhatsApp over here, Brother Oshi, and it's of an American. We'd like to refer to as African American, and he's, I don't know if you've seen this, he's speaking to this woman, a Nigerian woman, I think she is. I've not actually seen it, but I've heard it. They've been playing it on the radio, and they played it on a few radio stations and stuff, but people have been talking about it. And this woman from Nigeria, she's, I assume from what I've heard, she's asking for money or she's asking for help. She's in Canada. And he says to her, why are you asking for money? What's your problem? And so on and so forth. I'm paraphrasing here. So she explains, well, I need help. You know, things are not working out for me. Blah. So he says, so why did you come to this country? So she says, she'd come to better herself. But he says to her, why didn't you stay in Africa? Why didn't you stay where you come from? His tone is very hostile to her. When you're listening to it, you're thinking, you know, you don't really... He doesn't sound like a black man. You kind of think he's a white man. People have told me you've seen him, he's a black man, yeah? But, you know, and he, in the end, he says to her, she says to him, look, brother, I'm just asking for help. They turns around to her and says, look, I'm not your brother. I'm an African-American. Yeah, I'm not your brother. I'm an African-American, yeah? Now, this is going around WhatsApp. Now, let me tell you the truth. Marcus is very diplomatic, but I like to speak it as it is. You know, that what we see there, I've heard, is not surprising to us who live here. Because what you've got to understand is that the picture being painted from the media constantly, with it, whatever comes on the TV, this is the picture being painted. The picture being painted of African-Americans is ones who see themselves as American. They don't see that they're not really recognizing themselves as African as such. I'll give you another example. I put a friend onto this radio station, and he said to me that he didn't know African-Americans speak like that. That's what he said to me. And that was his honest view. He says, wow. He says, well, that's a brilliant radio station. He said he didn't know there was African-Americans who speak like that. I'm not shocked by that, because everything we see on TV, that brother I heard on WhatsApp sums up the picture we get, that African-Americans don't see themselves as African. They see themselves as American. That's it. Now, let me tell you something else. You know, that ADOS, what Brother Marcus refers to, yeah, that's another thing going around WhatsApp. And, you know, I listen to, let me just say, I listen to Carl Nelson's show intently. I listen to it a lot. And this kind of what I'm describing as xenophobia is not unique to this organization. I've heard guests come on there. Like, for instance, Brother Anderson. What's his name? Clive Anderson.
Claude Anderson, yes.
Claude Anderson. With all due respect, he talks about reparations. He don't talk about reparations to everybody. He talks about reparations as just to suggest it's just a single issue for African-Americans. And I find that very strange. Because I you know, we over here, we can't pick up, for some reason or another, WOO is blocked. We can't pick it up. But I have an IT background, so I use a particular software.
Way to go. Way to go, Paul.
So, yeah. Well, it's just because I understand the technology, but I know it's blocked. And I've spoke to the technicians down there. They weren't even aware that it's being blocked. I spoke to Carnell himself. I spoke to them, and I've explained to them it's being blocked. They weren't aware of that before I put it to them. At least they're not the only radio station. There's others. But the point is that what I'm trying to explain to you is that Paul Anderson himself, people listen to here, they listen to him on YouTube and they respect him, some of them reading books. But I put that to him. He's not speaking reparations for everybody or people. He's speaking reparations for who he thinks deserves it. And he excludes everybody else. That's how it comes across to me. I might have it wrong, but that's how it comes across to me. I had Professor Small come on Carl Anderson's show the other day. Someone who I had in high esteem. I heard him make some remarks the other day, which I would consider quite xenophobic. Yeah? And I'm wondering if they realize that this, when they speak on these airways, it goes right around the world. Because I'm sure a lot of people still think they're speaking on terrestrial radio station.
That's true.
They don't recognize
that's true.
Their messages are going out around the world.
Yeah.
And this is the thing where I suggest that people need to be educated to, even presenters, because sometimes they speak like they're speaking in their bedroom, not recognizing that it's going out around the world.
Right.
It's true. You've got to laugh, but it's something where, because, well, actually, between me and you, I'm writing a book on it, because it's intriguing. This is new technology. We weren't able to listen to the world before. We weren't able to do that.
That's true.
But we could just assume.
That's true.
Now we are able to listen to the world. I'm able to ring you from my job. I'm working right now. I'm able to ring you and interact with you. This is new. Yeah? So to me, it's very intriguing. And I take notes. I take notes from what people say. I keep a meticulous record. And I'm going to present it in a book. And what I'm finding is that what people are saying, right, is, you know, and what I hear, the brilliant interjections, gives you a real sense of what's going on, as opposed to watching it on YouTube, as opposed to it being pushed through to the media. So my conclusion is this, Brother Ochi. This is my conclusion. I love Brother Franklin Jones, because I think he's so got it right. He is the master for me. Because they are using mind control on us, brother. They are using divide and conquer tactics, which they have used from the beginning. I'm telling everybody right now, they should go out and get Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization, right?
I agree. It's one of my first books I read.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite academics of all time, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, he has it right, yeah? Now, he tells you about the African-American. He explains it. He explains what's gone on here. He explains when he traveled throughout Africa and the problems he faced. right? He thinks about a 6,000-year-old problem, right? Which still hasn't been resolved, which we are continually making, okay? 6,000 years, not 400 years or 500 years. He talks about a 6,000-year issue. And I absolutely agree with him that we are still making the same mistakes. I can hear it. As much as all due respect to Brother Ralph, and he says it's not we. Even in his conversation, he says not we. As if he can talk, like Brother Franklin said, he can't talk for 350 million Americans. It's impossible for him to talk that. But when he says we, he's not speaking for all that. It's just an illusion. He's speaking for himself and the people he knows. Yeah, and this is what Franklin Jones says. He says these are the mind tricks they run on us. We can't speak for everybody, but we can't say everybody feels that way. And in truth, Brother Ochi, my point is this. This is my point. Unless we start to speak to each other, unless we start to reach out, we're not going to see these issues we have, because we like to pretend, we almost like to act, because of what we've been through, we like to romanticize that we're all together, and we are not all together.
Right.
And unless we talk about it, unless we have it out, get it out of our system, then we're just pretending and acting. And I thought, to my people and the people around me, I say this all the time, and I wonder if they understand what I mean. There's a lot of acting and pretending going on. And we need to get this out of our system, because we've been through a lot, and we're harboring a lot of, not even our fault, but we're harboring a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of miseducation. So programs like yours are heavenly, absolutely heavenly. And it necessarily is a commitment I make to reach out and let people know how I feel and be honest about it. And like Brother Marcus said and Brother Ralph says, you allow that to happen. This show allows that to happen. And it's a beautiful thing. And if we don't take it up, if we don't take up these opportunities to speak the truth among each other, and when we get together, we say things to each other which we can't say on radio, we be truthful, then we're not going to solve this. We are going to solve these issues, because it's not going to be for reparations or anybody else to solve these issues. We ourselves have to solve these issues, and we've got to be truthful and frank with each other, yeah?
Yes.
And honest with each other.
Yes.
I lived in America. My parents are from Jamaica. I lived in America. And there's a lot of things I could say about my experiences, but I wouldn't want to say, to be honest with you. I really wouldn't. But I'm not talking about something someone told me or something I read in the book. It's something I experienced.
Right.
I got family in America on my mother's side and my father's side. I got family in Canada on my mother's side and my father's side. Yeah? And remember, we come from Jamaica. So, I'm a person who traveled. I've traveled a lot of places. And I can always tell when people speak, especially black people who have never traveled. I can tell. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell as well, Ochi.
Yes.
Because I know you traveled.
Yes, I have.
You can always tell, because there's a certain ignorance. Even though they think they know what they're talking about, there's a certain ignorance, because they haven't been there. They haven't traveled there. They don't really know. They're just assuming. It's all hypotheses. They tell what their friend says or what their next-door neighbor says, and they think that's the whole world. There's how many billion people in the world. You can't speak to all those people. You have to go there and live with them. You have to engage with them, and everybody treats them with a bit of. So I'm saying that we need to reach out to each other, and we need to be honest with each other, and we need to make these connections, because I tell you, we've got a lot of repairing to do among each other. And the last thing I want to say, you talk about this, Brother Ralph raised a very important subject for me, because I'm part of a group which deals with certain issues going on in Nigeria, yeah? And I would love you to interview a brother who's part of the IPOB movement, yeah, senior member.
In Nigeria? He's in the UK, but he's from...
Yeah, but he's a senior member in a political organization called IPOB, stands for the Indigenous People of Biafra. And I want you to interview him, because he'll give you, like Brother Ralph pointed out, some of the issues which they are facing, you know what I mean? And Brother Ochi, the reason why we need to have these conversations, because when I got part of that group and I sat down with the people and I listened to, and I tell you, it was a very, it was an eye-opener for me. It was a serious eye-opener for me, And it made me realize that we've got a lot of talking to do about each other, because we can't just all turn up in Africa and think that's going to be the solution, because a lot of us see things very differently. And if we don't get together and start talking it out, repairing ourselves, there's going to be more issues than we can even imagine.
Right.
So, you know, that's how I feel. You know what I mean? And this is why I committed to reaching out. Because relationships must start with communication. I can't just turn up at your house and expect me to take you in and you don't know who I am. You haven't heard what I've got to say. You know what I mean? The first thing you're going to do is not really trust who I am. But we've got to build relationships, and that must start through communication. The one thing these people have broke down from us is communication. And
right.
That's where we find a lot of problems.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, that's how I feel. I don't know who agrees or don't agree, but that's how I feel about it, you know?
I hear you, my brother. Yeah, right, I feel the same way, and that's the issue. I don't have any delusions. Okay, I understand where we are as a people globally. I understand clearly, and I understand what has affected us, and I understand truly what needs to happen is that a cadre of leadership must come into being that will speak to us as African people, regardless of whatever so-called nation, cultural group. If you want to use the word tribe and all that, regardless of that, we are one. And if we operate and acted as one, then all the things that befall us will be gone, will be gone. Because why? We will be solidified. We will be united. We will be working towards a common good for the whole of us as a people. And that can't come about until we rid ourselves of the ignorance and the influence of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a global situation. It's global. And so when that happens, we can do
it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Something just come to mind here. Let me just show you this, Brother OG. A few years back, there was an incident outside my home. Yeah. Well, it was just down the road from my home. But what alerted me to it, there was police cars about 30 police cars turned up. This is slightly unusual, but they had dogs as well. They had like Alsatian dogs, yeah? And so the first thing I noticed was all the flashing lights. So I looked out the window and I, you know, black children, African children everywhere, you know what I mean? And which, you know, at that time of night, 8 o'clock at night, it was very unusual. So, you know, I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, so I come out my house. Well, cut a long story short, what I think happened is that one African family must have had a party and they must have put it on social media. So the whole of London's the family's been overwhelmed because it was a father and his wife having a party for their teenager. And you can imagine, yeah? So they're trying to get rid of the rest of these people. Now. So the police have been called. Anyway, so I've come out my house and I'm saying, wow, you know what I mean? All this. So they had dogs, which is unusual in that, you know what I mean? And what struck me, one of the young people, you know, I had the young people arguing with the police and, you know what I mean, blah, blah, blah. One of the young people shouted out, "You can't do us like this. This is not America." And I tell you, brother, I was shocked.
He said, "You can't do us like this. This isn't America."
I was shocked when he said that. I was shocked. You know what I mean? And then they were all on that. Yeah, this ain't America. You can't do us like this. I'm thinking to myself, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I never heard that before from any of my peers. Not like that. You
right.
You know what I mean? But I had to analyze that. I had to analyze that. Because I'm thinking to myself, where did you get that from? You know,
yeah.
You know, and all I could think is that it must be social media. They're seeing this on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the image of America. The image they have of America is black people just being attacked by police and dogs and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, this is how things have changed. So I, what I'm asking you to understand is how these people are working. So you have Franklin Jones on there, the master, because he gets it right. These people are constantly, whether it be social media, whether it be the TV, it's not just in America they're doing this, they're doing it globally, especially here. Because I'm on the same path as Franklin Jones, and he says it comes from here. The Tavistock Institute, the Faith Institute, all these groups, it's found here.
Right.
It's moved through the Spanish, and it's implanted there, and it's used to spread around the world. Because, you know, listen, you know, what's his name? This media mogul you've got there now. This Jewish, the white man, runs all the newspapers.
Rupert Murdoch? My head now. Rupert Murdoch? Rupert Murdoch.
Do you know what happened to him here a couple of years ago? I don't know if you're aware. You know, there was a big scandal here. One of the newspapers was shut down. Are you aware of that?
No. Unless I probably was at the time. I just forgot. I mean, because, you know, but yeah, Rupert Murdoch.
There's a newspaper he had here called News of the World, yeah? And what they were doing, they were tapping people's phones. And because of that, they attacked some young girls' phones and one of the young girls that committed suicide, a young white girl that committed suicide, yeah? And, you know, when it was found out, they had to have this big, like, media trial. It was a big trial, and all the newspapers were calling to check because all these practices were banned. But as a result of it, yeah, because all the evidence came out, as a result of it, that newspaper, which had been banned for something like 100 years or something, was shut down. It was closed, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why he moved all these things to America. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
Because no. Obviously they're gonna
I know that he is big. I mean, Australia, New Zealand, and America, and so forth, is all the same. I was going to say all the same shit. Oh, I did say that, didn't I? But it's all the same when you look at, you know, what has happened. So, you know, Rupert Murdoch, same game.
Oh, obviously. But one of the things I noticed after the trial is that he moved his operations. He was more focused on America.
Yeah, now, right. He got Fox News. He developed Fox News.
He's not going to get reparations. So why keep asking for it?
Hey, Jay. Good morning, Jay. Or good afternoon.
Yeah, good morning to you too, brother.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish talking to Paul.
Why do we keep on asking for reparations when you ain't going to get reparations and you ain't put yourself in a power position to get reparations?
That's my point. So hold on.
Now you got Twisted Sisters, Monkey Men.
Hold on, Jay. Let me finish talking with Paul, and we'll deal with that question in a second. Go ahead, Paul. Finish your thought.
Yeah, sorry. I just forgot what I said. But Rupert Murdoch, yeah. So, you know, he had a paper here called The Sun, yeah? The most racist.
Right.
Hatred of black people. That paper. You know, everything negative. And most working class people read that paper. So obviously he's moved his operations to America, so we can assume that it's the same thing going on there. And I've heard various things. So this is the game they play: divide and conquer. And too often, Brother Ochi, we fall for it. We fall for this divide and conquer tactic. And I agree with Bubba Marcus. Although, you know, I can understand how African Americans feel with Africans coming in with that type of attitude. But we have it here. We have it here. But that boils out to a miscommunication between us. That's what it is.
Right.
It's not personal. It's not a hatred. It's a misunderstanding, a miscommunication. And if we be honest with each other, we'll find that among us. But we don't have to put it on somebody because they come from another country, because we find it among us. And that is the truth. And that's what I'm saying. We have to be honest with each other instead of using these xenophobic remarks. Because every time we do that, that means the enemy wins. And this is what I'm saying, my brother Ochi. So, you know, I'll give over now. Let brother come in.
All right, my brother. Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Stay around with it if you can. Okay, I'll put you on hold. Yes, Jay. What's up, man?
Not much. But listen. Why would I, in a strength position, give somebody that's weaker than me, that I don't control for years and years and years, reparation when they're not in no power position whatsoever?
Okay,
that demand happen.
Let me run this to you. I understand where you're coming from. And Charles Cutheimer, who died a couple years ago.
No, last year.
Was it last year? Okay, well, to me, he's been dead. Hey, Jay, to me, he's been dead. But okay, last year he died. Okay. But he wrote an editorial. I'm not sure where he was, who he was working for, New York or D.C., whatever. Don't make a difference. He wrote an editorial many years ago. Many years ago. He said, we should give black people reparations in America. We done gave them welfare. We done gave them affirmative action. We done gave them Section 8 housing. We gave them all these other set aside. Give them welfare.
Not true. That's not true.
What do you mean, what's not true?
That's a misnomer. That's a misnomer in the narrative that them been put forward that's as dishonest as the white man. Every one of those programs, the Yoruba benefits from it just as much as black people.
Of course.
So let's keep it 100.
Jay. I don't give a damn about none of these programs, but let me just point out, I agree with you. The fact that I came up on the fire department through affirmative action. I know how they manipulated affirmative action. I know how Caucasians claim to be Native Americans. Caucasians, this dude was Italian who claimed to be Hispanic and got on the fire department under affirmative action. I know. I remember the two Caucasians who got busted in Boston trying to come on under affirmative action. But let me finish my point. So, he says, Charles Kalkheimer says, we done gave them these programs. Let us give them reparations. Let's just say, for the sake of this discussion, 40,000 per family and 20,000 per individual. You know, he said, we'll do that and we'll get that money back within the next half a year or year at the most. Because why? Because they're going to get that money and then we're going to push it and promote it as a big stimulus package for the country. They'll be buying Cadillacs. They'll be buying jewelry. They'll be buying this. They won't pull that money together and build the institutions that they need for themselves. No, because we have their minds. We have them entrapped in individualism, materialism, greed, and the violence that this country promotes. So once we've done that, once we'll say to them, now shut the hell up. You have nothing else to cry about because we done gave you, we remedied you. Totally. So damn if you've been a slave, because that's all you are is a damn slave. Slave for that dollar. And so we gave you the money and you gave it right back to us and your condition hasn't changed. And that's what Charles Kalkheimer was talking about when he wrote that article. He stated it clearly at that time. And I'm saying to you and all the other listeners is that to not fight for just reparations does a dishonor and disservice to our ancestors and to us as a people. But you're right, Jay. When people deal from a position of strength, like the Japanese didn't get reparations as soon as they dropped the bomb on them. No, the Japanese got reparations when Japanese economy became strong, when they started building cars and electronics better than the U.S. And then those Japanese Americans benefited from that. The Native Americans is another story because the Native Americans is clear and simple that they were robbed. But then they're still being robbed because a lot of the casinos don't really benefit the Native Americans, not as a people, because there's still people on reservations who are alcoholics, who have other diseases, diabetes and so forth, and dying. You see, the European Jews, got reparations from Jump Street after the Nuremberg trials. Germany had to pay. Others had to pay. Give back art that was taken and so forth, or jewelry, whatever. They got reparations from Jump Street. Then not only that, they were given other people's land. The United States and Britain and so forth took the land from the Palestinians and gave them to the European Jews. So to me,
Oshie, let me say this because I got to run.
Okay.
The relationship is totally different when you talk about the Jew. You got to remember one thing. The white man is in cahoots with the Jew for the destruction of all people. So there's a whole different analogy that has to put in place. The bottom line is with ADOS, it's a homosexual-led group as far as I'm concerned, and the discussion has to be on a broader scale. I'm not going to make too much more of a determination in regards to this until I speak to Baba Ruti on Monday and see what his narrative is. If he supports it, then I'll support it. If he doesn't support it, which I don't think he does,
no.
I'm not going to support
exactly.
it. So the bottom line is, it all boils down to what African people are going to do for themselves. And I'll speak to you later, Brother Oshie. Hotep, and have a beautiful day.
You too. You too, Jay. You too, dear brother. Peace to you. You know, I wanted to read this article from The Arrow. We don't have much time. We have 10 minutes. Let's see what I can do. The same game with a different name. Slavery, segregation, integration are all systems of oppression. The ultimate goal of the leadership of Caucasian nationalism is a world controlled over land, products, and the means of production and labor. In order to hold this fragile concept of Caucasian world domination together, the leaders of the Caucasian nationalism must control the minds of the people of color. It is here that a wide assortment of tactics and strategies are employed to this end, one of which is manipulation. As Pablo Fury puts it, manipulation is another dimension of the theory of anti-dialogical action. And like the strategy of division, is it an instrument of conquest. When we begin to see through the many systems put in place to control us, the Caucasian nationalist leadership comes up with a new system, hence the same game with a different name. During captivity, the captor was our God, and we were his property. No human rights of any kind were afforded. Humiliation was daily. We were addressed as niggers, coons, boys, gals, pickaninnies, spear chuckers, jigaboos. I could go on. The African overseer who reported to Caucasian supervisors, who was controlled by the enslaver, enforced laws and policies. Reading, writing, and arithmetic were restricted and punishable by mutilation or death. Caucasian people had to sanction all human activities we engaged in. We lived on the Caucasian's land, divided by those who lived in or near the house and those who lived in the quarters. For jobs and positions, we were ranked by color, with lighter skinned Africans being favored, all basic needs, food, clothes, protection, and shelter were provided by the so-called captors based on what he felt would keep us working and producing. The captor engaged in raping, lynching, and burning at will. He was the law, and there was no law above him. All these above activities were taken to ensure that Caucasian extremism, the policies of culture domination, would control the minds of every African. It wasn't long before the harsh conditions of captivity began to weigh so heavily that the number of Africans participating in rebellions began to increase. While we were cleaning up confusion and looking to our future, the oppressors moved quickly to redefine and relabel our condition from captivity to segregation. The same game with a different name. In segregation, like captivity, we would live on the captor's land, but separated in areas designated by him. We had to work the land or factories for a small wage and were never paid the same as Caucasians. This wage was used to buy food, clothes, and shelter from the captor who owned everything. The Caucasian man was our ruler, and we were his servants. No human or civil rights were afforded. Humiliation was daily. Names like nigger, darky, boy, coon, I can go on, were used to address us. Reading, writing, and arithmetic were restricted and inferiorized. Learning was discouraged by suggesting smart niggers don't live long or get paid. The oppressor would drive over to our side of town to rape, lynch, or burn us for sport. The practice was not only encouraged, but also legalized by Jim Crow laws. The laws and policies were enforced by the so-called overseer, the Negro, the sellout, who was now a minister or a teacher, who reported to a council of Caucasian leaders who were under the control of the wealthy elite. However, being isolated from the captive social, political, and economic community forced us to provide needed services for ourselves. it would not be long before this minor economic growth would threaten the concept of total control. As all kinds of businesses and services began to spring up, the one segregated society became two separate societies, one black, one white, separate, hostile, and unequal. Once again, the oppressor had to alter the environment to subvert our growing consciousness, to crush the growth that would lead to economic and political self-determination. The leaders ushered in the system of integration. Now, understand something. I'm breaking from here. Integration, we never had integration. Integration is I have something, you have something, we bring it together to build on something. It was something that, it was their thing, and you ain't nothing. And that, well, let me read on. Once again, the oppressor had altered the environment to subvert our growth in consciousness, to crush the growth that led to economic and political self-determination. The leaders ushered in a system of integration, the same game with another name. In integration, we would submit to the surgical removal of the economic and political growth of our communities and buy into the illusion that we would share equally the political, economic, and social power of the USA. Instead of our leaders were co-opted and relocated back with the Caucasian oppressor. Caucasian business leaders took control of institutions and businesses that had provided all the life-giving and life-sustaining resources and services to the segregated masses. All businesses and institutions created by our leadership during the period of segregation would be co-opted, dismantled, or discredited. We have been properly prepared to accept integration, the same game with a different name. Integration, like captivity and segregation, is a system designed to control our minds for the continued service to Caucasian people. The format of total control. This is a newspaper, y'all. Sorry. Of total control was the same. We are living on the dominant elite's land. We had designated a few of us to live near and with him while the masses remained segregated and in poverty. We still work for the Caucasian. We were divided by our wages and the colors of our skin, lighter skin being favored. Our human and civil rights were still denied. Education is used to contain the masses in a subjugated role while marginally assimilating a few to mask the oppressor's true intent. All basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, and protection are controlled by the oppressor. The wages we earn from sale of our labor are used to buy from Caucasians to meet our needs. The oppressor is still lynching, raping, and burning our people. We are still called niggas, boys, coons, and etc. Lastly, our oppressor still has the laws in his hands and uses them in his favor. In order to enforce these laws, the policies of Caucasian, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, a small, highly visible middle class was created as the new overseers who reports to local Caucasian councils or boards, which are controlled by the Caucasian dominant elite. The same old game with another name properly defined this treadmill life in which we are contained. Moving toward freedom and justice is only an illusion created by words, tokens, or promises of advancement projected by the media, especially TV. The physical chains were removed from our bodies when the peculiar institutions was relabeled and defined as segregation, but the economic chains were placed on our labor when the separate but equal system of segregation was redefined. Now the psychological chains have been placed on our minds in the melting pot system of integration with its technological image control systems, the creation of a few interracial communities, the illusion of equality, multiculturalism, freedom, and success. While these images mentioned previously were projected via TV, films, DVDs, music, and in computers, we were surrounded by an all-Caucasian power base still firmly committed to Caucasian supremacy and the oppression of African people everywhere. All of these social experiments are in illusions of change, projected thought-manipulating programs, activities, and the environment to subvert our consciousness. When we analyze our captivity, segregation, and integration, we discover that we are still powerless and the oppressor is still powerful. The only change that has taken place is the name of the system oppressing us. The humiliating, oppressive, absolute control over our humanity by Caucasian people is still a tight and unyielding as it ever was. If we are to break the vicious cycle of oppression, we must, with all deliberate speed, commit to an ideology of Pan-Africanism, nationalism, becoming together of all African people for the political and social self-determination of African people everywhere. United, we can reclaim African land, working and managing the land to provide the needs for African people. We can also develop an African market where African businesses and commerce can be carried out under the authority of African, not under the domination of Europeans, be it colonial or neocolonial. In the diaspora, all people of African descent must heal our wounds and cease to hate our African selves. We must use our united power to participate in nation building, reclaiming and redevelopment of African spiritual, educational, and economic systems. Our communities must be free from white control or white domination, Caucasian domination. We must create institutions responsible for developing, maintaining, advancing the interests of the image of African people everywhere. Our failure to embrace self-determination will result in being manipulated and paid off until we are genocide from the planet. The same game with a different name. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. Hope you'll be with us on Friday for another episode of African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Peace, family.